Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for today's episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm very lucky to be on the phone today. Actually, not the phone. I'm very lucky to be doing a Zoom interview today with Leonor Okwara. Leonor has got a master's in public health with a concentration in epidemiology from Eastern Virginia Medical School, currently living in Maryland. Got a lot of expertise in the field, three kids, 2.5 dogs, and a car in the garage. Right, Leonor?
Yes. I have to laugh at that because it feels that way sometimes.
am I wrong? You used to work for the Department of Veterans Affairs, or do you currently do that?
Yeah, so I used to work for them. My husband's in the military, so we've been all over. So due to a military move, I stopped working for them and started working for universities after that.
Got it. The reason I ask is because I have in my notes here that you started something called the Program Managers Resource Group, PMRG.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. So that was pretty significant in my career. I'll back up and just talk about my background. I started working in community-based or community-engaged research in 2006 at Eastern Virginia Medical School, and that was my first exposure to working in the community and seeing how research could really impact the community. And also it was my introduction to community engagement and the importance of developing relationships. And I was able to network with a lot of nonprofit executive directors and see how they were running their organizations and their programs. And so, as I said, my husband's in the military, and so we traveled all over, and I was able to work on different teams, the different institutions. So in the nonprofit sector, the university sector, as well as the government sector. And so I've been able to see how different teams implement their programs. And part of that was learning how to grant write. I was so grateful that my supervisors along the way trained me in grant writing, because it would prove to be a very valuable resource. Because later in my career, when I started working for the VA and I became a program manager, that's when I realized, wow, we had so many resources to be able to write grants. And a lot of the nonprofits out there who actually need the grants, who are boots on the ground, really weren't sure how to approach the grant writing process. And so what I also found was in our department, there were a lot of new people coming in as research assistants and research coordinators, and they weren't sure where to start either. So I co-founded the PMRG group with another one of my colleagues, and it was a way for us to get all of the research staff together to talk about problems, to talk about different procedures in terms of implementing programs, so we all could get on the same page and they can ask their questions about budgets, about reporting, about audit. And it was just a great way to get everyone together on the same page, so we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. We can sort of develop standardized procedures for program implementation throughout our department.
You know, this is really cool. So it was basically a top-down, soup to nuts look, a support group, if you will, for everything related to program management.
Yes. And it was really great because then we found other people who had implemented certain procedures and worked really well. They were able to share it with all of us, and we started just implementing it across the board. So it was a nice group to just have all of the departmental support there and everyone to be there to just talk about problems and solve them together.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things you've mentioned that strikes me as kind of interesting is the notion that the discussion of grant writing is part of program management. I think that there must be a lot of people in the nonprofit sector who look at program management as the people who run the programs, and it's simply a development person's job to go out and hunt down the grants and make those things happen. Is that not the case? Is that not typically how it goes?
Right. That's typically how it goes. And so for me to be able to get that experience was really valuable, but I didn't realize how valuable it would be until essentially now. I mean, as a program manager, I went out and implemented the program and managed all of the activities that went on And then when I realized what grant writing was and the process for that, it helped me understand the science of the grant and how a protocol comes together and how program planning really impacts the management of it. Because when you're writing a grant, this is an idea. It's proposed. So you said, oh, you know, this may work, that may not work. But until you actually get the grant and you are going to put it out there in the community, then you realize, oh, wow, well, we proposed this, but that actually isn't going to work. And so with me having my program management expertise and now the grant writing experience, as I'm writing grants with nonprofits, I'm able to say up front before the grant is submitted, this won't work, so let's change it. Because mm-hmm. when we go to implement this, you're going to run into huge problems. So, right. Yeah, that has been a great skill.
So it sounds like that's simply the way to supercharge the process. It's if the program people should really choose to be involved in the development process, and development process should be welcoming of the program folks into yes. into the, what they do.
Yes, absolutely.
I was going to ask for examples. Have you had any experience actually doing that from scratch with another organization? Like, what kind of new policies would you recommend an organization employ when looking at both funding and program management?
So I think the biggest thing, and like I said, I've worked for the larger institutions. And so what I saw was groups of people that were able to take on certain parts of the grant. And so they had a lot of support, institutional support, with reading the grant instructions or the applications or RFPs, as they call them. They had a lot of support with developing budget, a lot of support with actually submitting the grant on time and making sure all the checks were marked. And so with nonprofits, that's not the case. It's usually mm-hmm. the executive director, especially smaller ones. Usually the executive director and maybe one support person if they're doing that. But really, in my experience with the small nonprofits, it's the executive director doing everything.
Right.
And so what has been great for me to share with them is, once you come up with a program, you walk through it as if you are a participant in that program before you submit the grant. So if you put yourself in the position of a participant, then you can sort of identify some of the problems that may come up. And what I mean by that, particularly if it's like a research study and you're recruiting from a clinic or something like that, you walking through the program as a participant will find out, okay, well, I need to, you know, be in this certain clinic. And if I'm being recruited from this clinic, the person who's recruiting me needs to know my appointments. They need to have access to the front desk. The front desk needs to be aware of the program. So there's all of these things that will need to be put in place so you can make sure that you can implement your program. You have to make sure you have community partners and connections. So I tell people, once you come up with an idea, make sure you walk through it as if you're a participant to see if there's any missing pieces from that.
That's brilliant. What do you think about process maps, process flows kinds of things?
So it just depends.
Yeah.
It depends on how people operate. And I think whenever you're working with nonprofits who are dealing with different populations and different procedures, you have to do what's best for you. Mm-hmm. And what I realized, trying to force certain procedures or ideas on certain people, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so whenever I talk to people, I kind of see how they process through things. And then I come up with something with them mm-hmm. on the spot. So
understood. Let's mm-hmm. let's take a quick step back and think it might help to just take a general 5-mile look at what program management is. Could you define that for us?
Yeah. So program management is different for different people. For me, working in the research field, you know, I keep the project running and it'll be multiple projects. So there'll be multiple projects in a research lab, and I'm trying to make sure I'm balancing all of the deadlines and the research activities, as well as interacting with the budget office and any of the grant funders' staff, especially when it comes to reporting. I'm interacting with volunteers and people we've hired to help work out on the project. I'm also communicating with our network of partners and collaborators and community advisory boards. I work with the auditors on the audits that that happen annually. And just the list goes on and on. But primarily, I'm making sure that what we told the funders that we're going to do, it actually happens. So I need to make sure I keep up with the deadlines. I track the funds. I make sure that our reports include everything we've done. So I'm constantly tracking the research activities, the successes, the failures, and making sure that that's incorporated into the reports.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are the top three program management issues that nonprofits tend to encounter?
Yeah, so there are so many issues that come up with program management, especially because if a nonprofit is a one man or one woman show, you're doing so much that it's kind of hard to keep up with everything. But I think primarily not having a system in place when they start their grant or their funded work, that's the biggest thing. Identifying a system up front will really help make sure that the program runs smoothly after that. And then also the budget. Budgets are scary for people, but budgets are so necessary. And the funder wants to know that they can trust you with the money that they gave you. So the budget has been a huge problem for nonprofits that I've worked with. And also documentation. Documentation is a big issue. It takes a lot of work to track things and to create reports, but it is so essential to showing the funder that you are doing what you told them you would do.
Can we step back for a second and talk about doing the budget? When you say that the budget is lacking, do you mean that the attention to it or that the funding stream itself is not where it needs to be or just poor budget management? I'm not sure I understand what that downfall is.
Yes, it's poor budget management.
Okay. What does that look like?
So the tracking. Yeah. So what I do with people I talk to is tell them to take the budget that they've submitted to the funder and use that as their tracking tool. Don't reinvent the wheel. Some organizations like to use different budget systems, but for those that I've talked to that don't have access to the resources, I just tell them to put their budget in Excel, and then as they are making purchases, to just enter that line item in Excel and to do it on a weekly basis. I think what happens is people become overwhelmed with just the thought of the budget, and it's not until the report is due or there's an audit all of a sudden where they realize that, oh my goodness, I should have been keeping track of this. And so whenever I guide them, I try to show them it's not hard. In fact, you need to do it from the beginning and make sure you keep up with it, because something may come up and you will be backtracking, trying to figure things out, and your numbers won't add up and that won't look good to the funder. So it's really budget tracking that people are afraid of and they wait till the last minute to do.
And I think you're right. I think if people are anything like me, on the one hand, it's not hard. And on the other hand, it just seemed like a lot of detail-oriented, granular work that I don't have time to take care of until it's almost too late. And and so it is sort of a daily discipline kind of thing.
It is. And as you get into federal funding, it really becomes very important to make sure you track each line item, because you get more money, but then there's more line items. You have salaries, and you're looking at percent efforts and incentives and travel and all of these things. And it can easily become overwhelming, but the funder doesn't want to hear that. You know, they gave you the money in good faith. And so you want to make sure that you establish your system up front.
Yep. So we've talked about how to look at and prevent budgeting issues, but how about the other issues? How do we prevent those?
Yeah. So the system. So you need to establish a program management system up front. And there's different ways to do that. They have web-based program management systems like Asana or Trello, where you can go online and you can track all of your deadlines. You can assign tasks to people. You can have your timelines and just have all of your reports inside this online system. Some people don't like using online systems, or maybe you work for an institution where you can't use these. So there's something in Microsoft called OneNote, and that is sort of like Excel. You have different tabs where you can track different parts of your project. You can track meetings, you could track due dates. And so that's also an option. What I most see people using is a mix of everything. So some people will use Excel to track their budgets as well as their timelines. They'll use Google Calendar to make sure they track their due dates. They use some sort of Dropbox or Google Drive to save all of their reports just in case they need other people to look at them. They're able to access it. But really, that system is going to be integral to the success of your project, because you want to make sure you establish these procedures up front. So you become used to it, it becomes a habit. And if you bring on anybody new, they'll just fall right into the system and they'll understand your practices. Mm-hmm. And so for documentation, this is very important to make sure you are satisfying the requirements of the funder and doing what you actually told them you would do. So, you know, some nonprofits will have a filing system, they have papers everywhere, they don't have their deadlines written down, and they're not really tracking much of their activities. And so that's why it's important to have that system in place, so you have everything that you need for the funder and to implement the program in one place. And so this is why I like to give program management guidance, to help people develop a program management plan. So they're taking their protocol or their grant, their program, and upfront they are planning out their activities to make sure that they will accomplish what they said they would accomplish.
I agree. I am a huge proponent of program management software. The trick is, of course, getting buy-in from all the stakeholders to actually use it.
Absolutely.
And I've seen two extremes of this. You know, I don't know if you count managing board activities along the same lines, but I've seen board portals that try to do things and keep board members involved. And on that end, I've never seen a single one succeed.
Yes.
But on the other end, in terms of, you know, boots on the ground, people who are doing the work and integration into the system with record keeping and all that, I've seen other things that work really, really well.
But I think
that if someone can build a board portal that's engaging and keeps board members involved, they will, you know, build that mousetrap and the world will be the path to that door. So,
oh, absolutely. I agree. And that's why I think it's important for you to know who you work with, because at all of the different places I've worked, we've used different things. And so it's just whatever the nature of that environment is. So we've just used different things that have worked for different people. Some of our board members, they don't want to do anything electronic. And so that requires, they may check email. So we'll send things out in email and follow up with a phone call. Some of our board members are technologically advanced and they want to use the latest software. And so for the board members, what that required was, even though some people were comfortable with some of the software systems we were using, they still needed a little push to stay engaged. And so how we would do that was follow up with them once a month with the newsletter, or make sure that we send them an email asking them a question. So just to engage them in between meetings, those are some of the things that we would do. But yeah, you're right. Adoption is huge, you know, You can have a system in place, but if no one uses it, it's pointless.
Right. And there's textbooks, I'm sure, that can be written on why that is, but we might have to save that for another conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
So the last thing I wanted to ask you for this episode is, in general, what advice would you have for nonprofits who have just received major grants or or maybe are about to get them or are still pursuing them?
Yes. So for nonprofits who are in this grant writing phase, I just want to say, make sure that you develop a program management plan. So you take your grant and you break it down and you see, what do you need to do for your budget? What is going to be the best way for you to keep track of what's going on? So you create your trackers. You want to create a contact sheet too. So everyone you come into contact with related to this program, write it down, because you never know at what point in the project or future programs that you will need to contact some of the people you engaged with. Also, when developing a program management plan, this plan is going to be gold for you. You'll have everything in one place. You'll have a systematic process that you'll use. You'll also have a training tool. So if your program does hire someone, all they'll have to do is look at that plan and they'll be able to hit the ground running. Also, once you receive a grant, celebrate yourself for getting through that process, because it's difficult, but also be sure that you think of that system that you're going to use up front. You don't want to compromise your credibility in the community or your funding. And you want to make sure that you have that system in place, because we want to be able to prepare for audits, and we want to make sure that our reporting is on point for the funder. And as far as for those who are in the grant writing phase, just take your time. It is a stressful process, but make sure that you double and triple check the resources that you're using, the collaborators that you are engaging with, and make sure you check those instructions to know that you have completed everything that the funder has required. And if you have questions for the funder, don't be afraid to reach out. It's better that you know what they meant up front before you submit something and your whole grant is denied because of one simple mistake.
Excellent advice. And I think that it hopefully does someone some good to understand that they can in fact be in touch with the granting organizations to get clarifications on things. They're not completely unapproachable.
No. And if they don't want any phone calls, they will say it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's always good to reach out with questions.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Leonora, thank you. This is fantastic stuff. If it's appropriate, and if a listener wanted to drop you a line and ask you any questions, how would they do that?
Yeah. So reach out to me at leonoreokwara.com, LeonoreOkwara. And all of my information, ways to get in contact with me, are there. I'm also on LinkedIn under Leonora Okwara. I have a podcast. I'm on Instagram at Public Health Culture. So that's how they can get in touch.
Most excellent. Thank you again for taking the time to do this recording with us today.
Great. Thank you so much.
And to our listener, thank you for joining us. As always, if you've got suggestions for future episodes, please find us at nonprofitsnapcast.org and let us know who we might reach out to. And in the meantime, we love getting your feedback on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever else you listen to the Nonprofit Snapcast. Those ratings make us more searchable and findable for other people. In the meantime, we'll be back with another episode in a few days, and hope you're all being safe and healthy and having a good week.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.